Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Don Mola, that doesn't mean that we don't venture out to the other counties not named Baltimore. Last time we were with this guy, I think we were having a coffee and some chicken and waffles at State Fair, and we had heard about this thing from China that was coming in this COVID, and we weren't sure what it was, and the county executive had to take some calls off camera during that. Don, it feels like yesterday, but it was almost 12 months ago now, right?
I looked at the calendar, Mr. County Executive, and we're delighted to welcome back County Executive from Harford County, Barry Glassman, one of the local officials really, really doing terrific work over the past year and trying to make government work in the midst of a pandemic. But Mr. County Executive, I looked at the calendar. It was March the 12th when you were with us, the day before D-Day, or shall we call it, I guess we ever known as C-Day. Boy, has the world changed since March the 12th.
You thought that was going to be a small part of your job, right?
Yeah, I remember that day, too. You guys had me sandwiched in between you. We would never be able to do that now.
Man, we were breathing on each other. We were sharing food. It was, I can't even, you know, it was like, I say jokingly, Mr. Exec, and maybe this is a good jumping off point. When I look at history, I really do think that there is a pre-9/11 world and a post-9/11 world. I think everything changed that dreaded September the 11th. We were never again the same on many, many fronts. I tend to think that that March 13th date is going to live much in that same way, that there will be a pre-COVID world and a post-COVID world.
You were the last guy I had breakfast with, Glassman. How about that?
That's right. Last waffle.
BC, before COVID. How about
before
that?
COVID. So, Mr. Exec, walk us through the past 8 or 9 months as a county executive and what it's been like every day to try to wake up and make government work.
Well, Mr. Don, you can see my hair is getting close to yours. That's the first thing that's happened over the last 9 months. But it's literally been a 24/7, and I call it like a waterboard COVID torture. I mean, it has been a drip and drab every day. And you can imagine Maryland counties have been and had to administer over, get this, 70 executive orders from the governor and the state to interpret, close down, and just do a number of things across the board. So the year is actually, when I think about it, has gone by quite quickly. I'm just now getting ready to formulate my next budget. And I was just beginning to do that and finish up some cuts and things when that happened last March. And so it has changed the world. I mean, and my son teases me, you know, I've been through blizzards 10 years ago. We were just recovering from that. 6 years. I just got in office when we had that blizzard 6 years ago. So we had 33 inches. I thought that week was one of my worst weeks. And then a couple months later, we lost a couple of deputies. And the opioid epidemic, it seems like my son says, Dad, you've gotten the full ticket, man. You've got the full fare. Now you got a pandemic under your belt. But, you know, you just kind of do your job, and we've just slowly worked our way through it. There's no playbook. People, you know, criticize certain things of everyone. But, you know, with this thing, there really was a little bit of information. We knew what was coming from China, and we started getting our cases. But there was no playbook on, you know, how we were going to handle this. I mean, other countries during flu season were wear masks and protect themselves, but even in our country, we had never done that. So it's been an adjustment. I have to say the spirit of not only Marylanders, but the American people has been tough. You know, when we think about that, we're getting close to 500,000 Americans that we've lost. And it puts, you know, the people we've lost through opioids, all the wars we've been through added up. It's just it's hard to fathom or get a grip on what we've been through. But hopefully we're getting to that other side of it.
Well, you know, Mr. Go ahead, Nestor.
The day we sat with you, it was very apparent you were taking it seriously. I mean, you literally got up and took a couple of calls. We get a hard time around here about the Republican-Democrat thing. First off, there's a whole lot more Democrats around than there are Republicans in Baltimore City, for sure. And, you know, I look to you and I say, well, the day before this, you were taking it pretty seriously and you weren't thinking it was a hoax or that it was just something you're hearing about. You were taking it seriously from the beginning. And I would say this, I've seen the Johnny O ads and Hogan or whatever, but for whatever reason, you've shown up on my television in ads telling people to wear a mask as much, if not more, than anyone else. Tell me what it's like in your position to literally have people who voted for you who walk up to you and say, this is a hoax because the president told me. Because to me, that's got to be the most difficult spot in governing for people who don't believe it was a thing or didn't believe it was a thing. And now we've had the insurrection, and we'll get to all of that that's happened on the right side of the aisle. But you do represent that. It says R next to your name. But you were one of the ones from the very beginning saying, we got to make sure we don't have 500,000 people die from this.
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, the nice thing about local government, although, listen, when I started doing those ads and have to, you know, I had folks saying, don't follow the governor's executive orders. I have emails probably a half a foot thick, you know, saying, why are you following a plandemic and you're playing along with this? And, you know, you have to, as a public official too, you have to be learned. You have to study and actually trust the medical profession. So the conspiracy stuff, I've never kind of bought into. I'd like to think that I'm smarter than that, and that you have to listen to folks that are also smarter than you are, folks that have studied and present information. So, I mean, I knew from day one, I kind of had a sinking feeling in January when we started getting those initial reports from Wuhan in China that there was this this virus. And as you know, as open as our world is, it's only a matter of time before it was going to come to our shores. So, you know, right after Christmas, I can remember having a kind of a sinking feeling about this, that, you know, this is going to be another one of these health scares that we're going to have to deal with. And so you kind of have to push back. You really have to tell people that, you know, this is legit. There is science with this. And, you know, the internet's a wonderful thing. It's a terrible thing. I always
all they have to do is go over to Upper Chesapeake and they can see the result, see what this is, right? Literally.
Yeah. And I tell people, listen, there is a lot of science about the virus. But I also say, be careful. There's a lot of science fiction about the virus. And you have to be, as a citizen, you have to educate yourself enough to know the difference between science and science fiction, that stuff that's being made up for political reasons, for a number of reasons. And so being part of a leader is you have to push back on that and educate your people. That's why I figured, listen, we're going to go, you know, I come from a conservative county, but we're going to go on TV and tell our folks to protect themselves too, because my take is the more that we could do in public safety, hand washing, distancing, face masks, we were going to keep our local economy open, keep our hospitals staffed, even keep my EMS divisions. You know, we're on the front line, so I've got to make sure every water and sewer plant has employees that can make sure that's operational. I've got to have ambulances on the street, and those folks have to be safe. So there are a lot of vital services that we have to keep open, and the only way you're going to do that is protect each other.
Well, and again, we're with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman. As I've said repeatedly, whether you're a mayor or county executive, that's where the rubber really meets the road in these kinds of crises. Barry, since you went down that road, I'm going to pursue it a little more. And when I say go down that road, you mentioned that you got a stack of emails from Republicans basically saying to you, you're a turncoat, you're a rhino, you're with the Democrats, picking on the president. I mean, I've known you a long time. I mean, you to me embody what I'll call, and it may not be the right term for it, but the traditional Republican, a level-headed, business-centered person who's fiscally responsible, but doesn't buy in, as you said, to conspiracy theories and isn't really interested in these hot cultural issues that just divide people. My question for you, Barry, and your political future is, and it's going to be more and more. You're going to be in the papers more and more, whether you like it or not. Is Barry Glassman going to run for governor? Is Barry Glassman going to take on Andy Harris? Is Barry Glassman done because today's Republican Party can't handle a Ben Sasse or a Jeff Flake or a Liz Cheney? Does that stuff keep you up at night, and does it give you a headache?
Not too much. I mean, I've been around 30 years, so I have seen the party change over time. I mean, I started out, you know, raised on a farm. Nestor knows about the sheep now. But, you know, party politics has changed, and I've seen these ebb and flows, different branches, and both parties have their you know, factions on the extreme outer edges. But, you know, when I have a stack a half a foot thick, I like to think I represent 250,000 people. So that's just a fraction, a vocal minority. But I think deep down, if you believe that government can work, you know, I've actually had to balance budgets, help families, create jobs, do all the things that government can do. And you can be a conservative to do that. We've kept our AAA bond rating and have rebuilt a fund balance. And, you know, we're one of the leaders in the opioid epidemic. And I do believe in the old adage of helping your neighbor. And so we've done a lot of social programs. And I believe that government can work. You can be a conservative and help people and be productive. And I think the system needs that. It needs folks in both parties to be able to do that. And you just have to kind of march forward and do it with, you know, I do it with grace and civility no matter what. And I figure, you know, even if you have to fight a losing battle, you have to do it with some nobility and do it that way. And at least in local government, I've been fortunate. I talk with the big eight county executives once a week. And on local issues with the pandemic, we share information and work together, planning and zoning. And so I think that's what I've enjoyed most about local government is the fact that it is fairly nonpartisan, that we're able to work together. Now, I only wish that the federal government could actually spend more time working on balancing budgets, creating jobs, helping families and farmers and so forth, instead of playing these national messaging games.
Well, what was your thought? And we will jump to vaccines in a minute, because as you said, there aren't Democratic arms and Republican arms that are waiting for shots. Everybody's waiting for a shot. I was just delighted to recently get my shot, and I can't tell you what a sense of relief that
means
was.
He's old. That's what it
I'm
means.
I'm old. But Mr. Exec, what was your reaction? You mentioned, I wish the federal government would be a little different. What was your reaction? He's your congressman. What was your reaction when Andy Harris wants to walk around the metal detectors, wants to carry a gun on the House floor? I mean, you've known Andy a long time. What in the world? Play Dr. Phil. What in the world?
I don't know him. I know him on TV, and I don't know that I want to know him.
Yeah, what's going on with Andy Harris?
Well, you know, I served with Andy for a while in the state Senate. Of course, he represents a portion of Harford County in the first district. I think, you know, 12 years, and I would say that, you know, the congressman said he was only going to serve 12 years, but I think he's going to break his word on that and run again. But he's really become a hardened partisan. I think he, you know, what I mentioned before, he has fallen into this thing where, these folks go to Washington and they take up these national flags and the national party fights. And instead of the old style where, you know, like Congressman Doc Long and some of the guy, you come back to your district and you work your district in a van and you make sure your families are taken care of. You create businesses. You do that kind of work. But now it's all, I like to say they're show ponies instead of workhorses. You know, it's a lot of it's for show. And I think Andy has fallen into that. He has just been there kind of too long, where he's so hardened now that you see these kind of stunts, whether you're walking through a metal detector or, you know, and I was sad the day that the riots occurred. And, you know, as a student of Lincoln, I had just been working on my state of the county and been through some of my Lincoln notes and so forth. But even back in the 1860s, Lincoln always said, even during the Civil War, you can never let anyone threaten a free election. And back then he called it the rebellion. If the rebellion can stop a free election, then you've lost, whether you've lost in war, on the battlefield. But the minute you let your opposition, no matter who it is, stop a free election, then you've lost your democracy. And so, you know, I said that day, I was disappointed and kind of embarrassed that a lot of folks in my party took part in that.
Well, you know, it's not before we again jump to the vaccines, it's pretty easy ride down to D.C., down I-95 from that sheep farm. You want to make any noise today about a political future on Baltimore Positive?
Well, you know, you listed my options there. I'm looking at, they are, you know, I am kind of looking.
Did he leave any out?
I am kind of looking at the first district. I do think, you know, that the congressman gave his word on 12 years. And, you know, it may be as simple as saying to the voters, listen, you know, keep him to his word or let someone else have a shot at it. And listen, I'm a conservative, but I do think the district maybe deserves a conservative that actually will go down and work to create jobs and balance the budget and do those things that are good for Maryland's first district. I went to college over in Chestertown. My dad sold cattle over in Galena. And so I have a lot of friends that have been emailing me. And the nice thing is my email stack is getting pretty high for folks that want me to take a look at that. And so that's one of my options. And, you know, I'm kind of looking at a statewide race, but, you know,
that statewide race would have a G in front of it, Mr. Kang.
Yeah. But that, you know, that's a tough climb for somebody from Harford County. I'll be honest with you. I've built a lot of connections around the state, but, you know, I think that's a tough race. And the third option is, Don, is do what you do and get out of politics and
Bel Air Positive.
And,
there we go.
You can come on. Nestor's always looking to replace me. You can come on and be the new.
I got a lot of Republican friends that hate my guts. That this would fix me, you know, like if you and I work together, man. Come on, save me, Barry.
Let's talk. Let's get back to your day job. But again, we'll stay tuned. All those options sound exciting, and I think there would be a lot of people in the first congressional district very excited by a Barry Glassman run. I think that would be – it would certainly gain national attention. I mean, you'd be on the national stage overnight. But let's go back to your day job, and let's start with what's front and center for everybody. Let's talk I think there's two things that are front and center, vaccines and getting kids back to school. So let's talk vaccines, where Harford County is, how you feel about how you're doing, and what help you need from the state and the feds to do even a better job.
Well, I think initially on the federal level, I did a Zoom conference yesterday. I think President Biden's plan to increase the production of Moderna, Pfizer, and his 100 million doses and maybe 150 million doses, I think is good news for local governments that we do have an administration that recognizes that we need a plan and it needs national involvement in addition to state and local distribution of the vaccine. So I think that is good. Every county executive is going to tell you we need more vaccine. In Harford County, we've had about 17,000 doses. We're at about 6.9%. And so we're administering everything that we can get. But right now we have a lot of folks your age, Don, that are still waiting for their shot. And then we...
No doubt about it.
We have 18. Just to give you an example, over 75, we had 18,000 people in addition to those other 1A, 1B categories. So we need about double the doses that we're currently getting.
How many doses, Mr. Exec, are you getting now roughly on a weekly basis?
This week we got about 3,500. So that just shows you.
Well, you do that math. I mean, I think that's what's really upsetting to folks. You don't have to be. Sister John Brebeuf would be proud of me that I could actually probably still do that long division. It's not hard math to figure out. That's many, many months if you continue to get that amount of vaccine.
Right. That's why I said, when I'd say 17,000 folks above age 75, that could run me into March right there before, we do teachers and all the other. And I think that's one of the expectation games that I think the governor should temper a little bit. We're into this thing where we're expanding the pool of folks that are eligible. So we went to 65 and older when we really only have a fraction of the vaccine to handle our first category. So that, and I know it's easy to say at that state level, but as you know, at the county level, we're the ones getting flooded with phone calls saying, well, the governor said over 65. And then we have to say, well, he said to sign up, but he didn't say we're not going to have that vaccine until June unless we get some more.
Well, that there's no doubt. I think I heard the number, and I think I saw the latest number in Baltimore County. People over 65 who were on the reg was 130,000.
Yeah,
and they're getting 7,000 or 8,000. It's a lengthy process. Quick question on that though, Mr. Exec. Why not move teachers right now to the front of the line? Get every teacher in Harford County, every administrator vaccinated, so that kids can get back to school. It seems to me that has an emotional component for the kids and for the teachers, has an economic component because mom and dad can focus more on work. It seems to me people would understand if we said, look, we're moving teachers to the front of the line. We're going to get every Harford County teacher vaccinated in the next 2 weeks, and we really will be back by March 1st.
Yeah, well, so Don, we are vaccinating. We have offered and have clinics scheduled, and actually vaccinations are underway for our teachers here in Harford County. I think we're starting at the kindergarten and moving up as the stages of when the children will come back. I think secondary will come back probably later in March. So we have that underway. I think it's reasonable for the teachers to try to get them vaccinated at least one dose ahead of time. And so we probably will meet that. I think we're on schedule to get that done by mid-March, to have staff, teachers, bus drivers, that infrastructure vaccinated. So we're going to get that done here in Harford County.
Well, thanks for that update. Listen, I know your time is short, and we promised your staff we'd honor that. Give us a quick update, though, Mr. Exec, before you run. We just did a session on the state's budget. We've talked with other local county executives about their budget. What is the Harford County budget picture look like, and how seriously was it affected by the pandemic?
Well, we have been steady. I like to think a lot of the things we did over the last 6 years on efficiency, our digital platforms. I invested heavily in the cloud and moving all our operations to a digital base. In fact, now, Don, you can do an application for a single family house and do it digitally all the way to the UNO. The inspections can even be done with an iPad. And so that has helped us. We never closed a single day during the pandemic. So we never missed a grading permit, a housing inspection, plumbing inspections. So the local economy on that front has been strong. And we've been fortunate that we do have a strong, our largest employer is Aberdeen Proving Ground that teleworked. And so income tax revenue has been stable. And so we're looking at about a 2% growth. We just had our AAA bond rating reaffirmed by all three agencies. And I have about a $25 million fund balance to help out the schools and so forth. So I like to think that we've built a pretty strong ship of state, and right now we're weathering the storm. Of course, as you know, things in the old days used to be pretty predictable from month to month or quarter to quarter, and now we see changes that happen real quickly. One, for example, even the governor's stimulus program to waive local and state unemployment income tax on unemployment benefits is about $160 million hit to Maryland counties. Now, for Harford County, we have 5 or 6% unemployment. That's probably about a $6 million hit to me. But Baltimore County, $20 million. Baltimore City, $27 million. And so I think we have to be careful not to just shift hands with this revenue that you end up hurting the locals who are actually on the front line providing the services. That's out there. And the last thing I would say that I've been fighting for a number of years since I was president of MACO is Maryland health departments. And this chicken has come back to roost kind of, but Maryland health departments are the only state agency that never had their funding restored from the last recession. They are operating on dollars that are 20 years old. And so I think they're doing a tremendous job getting this vaccine out. But I do think when the vaccine really begins to step up, that's why we're going to need federal sites and state sites, because In Maryland, I think we've let our local health departments go unfunded too long because they provide, in many counties, particularly on the shore and rural counties, they are the frontline providers for addiction, child wellness, mental health, and now vaccine distribution. And we can't ask them to do that on $1989 dollars. But that's my stump speech for the health departments.
No, terrific. And again, thanks for your time. Thanks for all the work as a county executive. As I said, if you decide to jump in that water and head down on I-95, it'll be a very exciting race. We hope you'll come back and join us periodically. Nestor, any final thoughts for Harford County Executive Barry Griffin?
I keep putting him in Howard all that. County. And hey, if you're going to let it all set sail, Bel Air positive. I got friends up there. We can do that.
Okay. All right. I'll let you guys know something in March, all right? I'm going to get this thing figured out about what I'm going to do here in March, so I'll let you know.
We're going to appreciate you. We'd love you to come on and let our listeners be the first to know. Thank you, Barry.
Harford County Executive Barry Glassman joining us here from up in Bel Air, Aberdeen, and parts north and east. On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller, I am Nestor Aparicio. Big thanks to all of our sponsors. Make sure you're getting over to State Fair, getting those chicken and waffles, a curb siding, maybe a little Bivette steak or a cauliflower steak as well. And our friends down at Fadley shipping those crab cakes. Even up to Harford County, come down in the curb siding at Lexington Market, and they are building their new location in Catonsville. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Harford County, Baltimore County, and Baltimore Positive.